If people are unfamiliar with this issue, I'd like somebody to briefly explain what this issue is about, if anybody wants to step forward and do that.
This is Lydia.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Lydia. Yeah.
Point of what we're doing. Has the chair made this motion? Is this motion on the floor now?
No, this motion is not on the floor. We're just discussing it for the moment. Thank you.
Point of information.
Yeah. Sure.
Wouldn't the motion have to be on the floor for us to discuss it?
No.
Mr. Chair, did we approve the agenda? If we approve the agenda, then it's in order.
Okay.
We did approve the agenda.
Yes.
It's a committee. Mr. Chair, it's a committee. We can discuss stuff like that.
Yeah, that's
saying, oh, it's got to be, you know.
That's kind of how I feel, too. I'm not sure that the motion will stand up very well under discussion is why I would like to discuss it first. First of all, I think we need to understand what this is. I think it's important that we get some background on
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay, so I discussed it last time, but in part, is that we have sidebands attached to the various stations, and we don't have much. I don't know. I haven't wrapped my arms around this yet. We have one that's very healthy from, as I mentioned before, from Radio Korea that's attached to KPFK, $10,000 a month. And which is very helpful, but we have others. We have some that attach to KPFT, and we have one that may still be very delinquent for a very long time that needs to be cut off. That's encapsulated in this motion. But I do need to get more information and see where it stands, because everything I had to do with it was in my prior stint. So that's number one. Number two, I actually like the idea of putting the national office receiving the actual checks or whatever, but that it's credited to the various stations to which the sidebands are attached. Having said that, I do believe this motion is complicated. It's why it's been floating around for years. I don't think that that's necessary, and what I'm about to say may make it all the more complicated. The national office has depended on this income, so therefore this income cumulatively would have to be compensated for. And what the stations have that the national office doesn't have is the microphone. So, you know, either way, I'm always saying this, at the end of the day, collectively, the foundation owns this combined amount of money from all of the stations, and we're ultimately responsible. But then that means that we also have the responsibility of raising the funds to pay the bills that are attached to all of this. So I would recommend that we postpone this motion till the next meeting. And I will, number one, send more information about the SBAs and see where we stand currently. As I said, I've only seen one check. That doesn't mean that they're not being sent electronically to the national office. I haven't checked that with Tamara or with Anita. And then also that I want to come up with a formula by which, if we're going to be down $50,000 a month in SBAs, which that, of course, is not what we're getting right now, then we should have the microphone to raise the extra $50,000. But there you go.
Something
like that that's far more simple, instead of this 5% and blah, blah, blah. We would simply have to compensate for the income.
Thanks. I have a question for Lydia, but I will take a stack first. Let everybody else go first, if anybody else does.
Arpal?
Go ahead, Arpal.
Yeah, this is, okay, two things. One, when you look at it, It doesn't make a gigantic difference because obviously if the result of this motion is that the national office gets a bit less money, then yeah, some way will have to be found whereby that money is gotten into them some other way, which will probably be some method of having the stations send it in. So it's kind of, you know, it zeroes out here to some degree financially. On the other hand, you have to understand that, you know, Chris was talking before about people making a very big deal about some things. And this is something that I remember when this first started, because the stations used to get the money. It was a part of every station's budget was what you were getting SCA from. And not all stations used to have any SCA revenue. And when the PNB decided to change that and said, it's all belonging to the national office now, in like 2006 or so, somewhere in those years, you know, there was a lot of resentment. There was a lot of grumbling about this. And I think it would be a gesture that would tell the stations that, you know, yeah, we're part of this and, you know, you're getting a credit for it. And that would also, I think, emphasize to the stations that, again, you need the national office. I can't tell you how many times I've had to get up before various people, even talking to individuals, and say, why do we need a national office, people will say. We could just go on without them, which is nuts. And explain things like, you know, you need to have somebody who's paying various insurance things. It does this, that, and the other thing. And the national office does a lot of stuff, and it needs to be a central place for the network to get, like, mail from the FCC, which could possibly be important, and things like that. So on the one hand, financially, it isn't some great massive boon to the radio stations. On the other, and that could be compensated for any loss at the national office. And on the other hand, it makes it so that the stations, at least some folks, will feel less put upon, less taken advantage of, less ripped off. We could differ on details. But something like this is not a terribly bad thing, in my opinion.
This is Sharon.
Nancy to the stack.
And James also, please.
And Frank to the
stack. Okay, I heard you, Nancy. Sharon first. Okay, Sharon first. Sharon.
Okay, yes, thank you. Thanks. I just have a sort of a basic question. And I just want to say, first of all, I kind of looked into this whole sideband thing after we talked about it last week. And Arpal, thanks for that explanation because it was really helpful. And just for the record, because I know it's nice to have actual things that we talk about. Yeah, I did check, and KPFA doesn't actually have a lot of sideband revenue, if any, at this point, or very little. But it's actually an interesting point of how we could generate revenue. So I think it's a great topic, okay? And my question is, you know, all this discussion, to me, it seems, this is just, you know, it seems that the easiest way would be to have the stations, it's their tower, it's their band, they, you know, maybe they want to have input into who's, you know, is being broadcast, because I remember our Paul mentioned something about something that was being broadcast off of a side band on WBAI, and people were kind of upset. So to me, what seems to make sense is to have the stations collect the revenue and take care of it themselves, and then it's revenue on their side that can be used to pay central services. That just seems like a more logical, simple, and easier to manage, and the people that have the radio station are interested in their station and getting increasing revenue. So I'm just wondering why that is not where the discussion is at.
This is Lydia after Chris.
Okay. Nancy, you were next.
My discussion was kind of in the lines of Sharon's, was who is it that's responsible for going out and getting the customers to purchase the sideband capabilities that we sell. If the stations don't get credit for it, and yet they have to go and, you know, drum up customers for sideband, what's the incentive for doing that? So I think we have to think about that very carefully when we decide who to give the, who gets the use of that money.
Okay, thanks, Nancy. James?
Did you say James?
Yes, I did.
Okay, great. I wasn't sure you could hear me. Appreciate that. I have a question along those lines, and it has to do with where is the management of the sidebands most effective? I heard Lydia say, and I'm aware, that some of the sidebands, not to say are mismanaged, but they are, some of them are delinquent in their payments. Some of them are underutilized. So what we need to do two things. We need to have good management of them. And then the second thing, which was very much in WBAI's interest, because we were deficient in central services, was to try to get some central service credit. It's my understanding we get about $5,000 a month for sidebands, which is not the $10,000 that the other station gets, but it's about $60,000 a year, and that would be at least four central service payments. So that would help us greatly in that regard. Of course, we need to make policy for the whole network. And so I'm just curious as to, I get the argument that local control may bring better management, but I'm not sure that it always has, and therefore we've had some problems. So I'm just curious to hear any opinions about how it's best managed, in theory anyway, and then I guess also in practice, in contrast. Thank you.
Thanks, James. Fred?
Can you hear me all right?
Can you hear me fine?
Okay. I was looking over this motion a couple hours ago when you sent it out, and I was thinking about this. I was involved on the NFC in 2016 when we went over this thing and tried to figure out a way of allocating it. And it seems very overly complicated. The national office is going to get 5% of the income for its overhead of managing it, and then 95% was going to go back to the stations. And then, obviously, the station's central services payments were going to have to go up to cover the difference. So it seemed like it's sort of a complicated way of dealing with the issue. But and then technologically, my understanding also is that this technology over the long term is going away. And so I don't know how many years, you know, we're going to have income from the sidebands. Because there's competition from other technologies and other communications modes. In any case, so I'm sort of neutral on this, after all of this, all's been said and done. And, maybe we need to get some more information on, you know, is the sideband truly being mismanaged that some stations are not? It may be just that there are not that many customers for the sidebands at certain stations. And that's why, it's not bringing in the income. So that's my two cents.
All right, thanks, Fred. My comment was basically, you guys were great, by the way. You covered basically every point that I was going to make, and that's why I like you guys going first. Just to circle around and summarize, I couldn't see any reason why the stations wouldn't be the best body for managing this, in that it's in their best interests and it's their station and it's their signal. So it seemed to me that having the revenue fall directly to the stations would be the best approach. They're the people on the ground. They have a vested interest in seeing that that it's a revenue driver for the station. And it just seemed to me that they'd be paying more attention to the whole thing, and it would enable them to pay their essential services instead of it being in the form of a credit. But the other objection I had to this proposal was that it would necessitate the creation of a second ledger that would keep track of all this crap. And I just don't think that we need to make our accounting more complicated than it already is. It's candidly, it's kind of a nightmare with the five divisions and all of the intercompany stuff that goes on. Just keeping track of it as it is bad enough. In fact, I'd advocate anything that we could do to simplify the accounting for the network. I'm good at reading these things, really good. I've been doing it for 40 years now, and these financial statements are incredibly difficult to read, and they're even more difficult to track errors on, especially the sort of $3,000 errors that I routinely get questioned about by various members of Pacifica. And you know, tracking down all of these gnats is very difficult work, and I don't envy Netta in their job, and complicating their job even further, I think, is a mistake. That's my opinion on it, and Lydia was next.
Yes, so, as I said, I would like to see this postponed till next time, and I can see what kind of income we're getting, if we're getting that $60,000 from a New York sideband, it's not coming in a hard, in a paper check that I've seen. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So what the other issue becomes is that, for example, there was a sideband at one station, and that particular entity wanted to expand into a sideband in another signal area for another station. So it was negotiated in one part of the country for, you know, a station somewhere else, but the contract was developed in that other at that other station in a different state. So we have to deal with all of those variances, right? And every time that one goes down, if one stops paying theirs, then are we adjusting? We'd have to adjust their central services and all of that. So let me, I want to give it more thought, have more discussion as to how we can do this. I do think that the individual stations are the best ones to recruit entities. And the use of them is as follows. Our stations are in English. Some of these other all of the sidebands that I know of are in a different language. So it's either in Korean or in French for the Haitian station, or in Spanish for the Catholic station. So that is the use. They have their own little apparatus that they use in order to listen to their individual programming. They obviously think it's of value. In fact, the one where I said it went from one state to the other was because that was the largest growing radio entity, and yet, you know, and so they wanted to tap into that, which they did very successfully and have, and apparently grew leaps and bounds because it was Spanish. But nevertheless, so there is that kind of use. It's not our traditional kind of use of radio across all demographics. So it's very specific, but because it's community-based, I do think that the stations are the best ones to advertise and see if people are interested in. And then it's up to us to work out these internal accounting aspects of it. So I'm not prepared to present an alternative to this motion, but I do support the local management, or at least recruiting of the SBAs and so on and so forth, and giving some credit because it's their station and their towers and so forth. Having said that, the National will come up with a way to compensate for that. So so that's about it. So I just we postponed it.
James for the
stats.
Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I just wanted to suggest that, you know, whoever gets the income and or I guess the credit, which might be just as good if we're struggling for central service funds, is the one that's going to have the incentive to be motivated and go out there and find the customers and you know, manage the account and pursue the income, the rental income. So I'm thinking at least, as Lydia just said, wherever the income goes, at least give the stations the credit. That'll give them the incentive to be involved in all of that if they're the ones that are going to be doing it. If it gets lost in the national level, I'm thinking perhaps, you know, it may not be that much money, and I understand even at one station they don't have any sideband income, so it may get lost. So I'm hoping that however we resolve it, the income or the credit for the income goes to incentivize the people who are going to be doing the work to try and get it, and that goes along with what Lydia just said about giving the stations the credit and letting them manage it.
Okay, thank you, James. Sharon, and then Paulina.
Yes, well, I just want to suggest again that the motion seems overly complicated, and I want to address the proposed motion. I know we're not discussing a motion. The point about how the one subband expanded to another station is pretty easily resolved with much less management, overhead, by simply including the general manager from the other station in the negotiation. I mean, that seems to make sense, that if the new station, the second station, was going to be broadcasting a sideband carrier, that station should be involved in the negotiations, and that up front there should be a decision made about how to split revenue. And that's something that can be done quite easily, like through, you know, the negotiations that are being done. So, I mean, to me that seems pretty straightforward versus, as I understand it, there's going to be like using a credit and then adjusting the central services credit when the numbers change. That is very complicated. So, again, I just want to speak to keeping things simple, because within Pacifica we have so many examples of how the systems fall apart because of the democratic nature of how this organization is run, and so it's better to have very easy-to-understand systems where the stations are responsible for it, the stations get the money, and then they can use that money to pay their central services. There's no need to adjust any kind of central services. It would just be their regular central services. They could get the income, and then they could pay their central services.
Dwayne to the stack.
Thank you, Sharon. Paulina, and then Dwayne.
Yes, I would like to have a feel for how this body would feel about perhaps modifying the motion currently on the floor with what the previous members' comments were, to incorporate perhaps language to incorporate the participation of management. And then perhaps we could just dispense with it. I would really love to see an intelligence report out of this committee on this motion.
Thank you, Paulina. Dwayne?
Okay. Taking consideration all the statements and suggestions that have been made, I do believe there's sometimes a thin line between what's practical and what's theoretical and what is actually in practice. I'm speaking to the fact that oftentimes managers have an incentive to negotiate a certain way with sidebands. I can give you an example. I believe one that did negotiate a sideband in totality with no input from IEDs or EDs, because we've had such a transition and such unstable management at the top. And I believe that person may be getting some consideration after leaving employ. So I think it's very critical that we have a centralized process, that sometimes managers can't even tell you what they believe or think the value of that contract ought to be, or that sideband exists. And depending on the market, it's based on the size of the market. Now, beyond that, I think it's also critical to understand that in practice, when you do have these streams of income that are the property, this is the property of the foundation, not the property of a station. This is owned and assign from the FCC to the foundation, not to a station, not to a manager. But moreover, I think it's important to note that anytime you've got these type of revenues that are being generated, that it should go to Central, because often, I don't know if some of you know this, but at least three or more of our stations not even up to date and have not been consistent in paying their Central services. So it should be a pass-through, as far as I'm concerned. And any revenues that are generated as a result of signal or generated as a result of assets owned by the foundation, it ought to be centralized and not localized.
Thank you, Dwayne. I appreciate your comment in particular, since you had more involvement, I believe, with this motion than anybody else sitting on this committee, and so I appreciate that. Thank you. So we had a motion to postpone this. I believe that we have to dispense with that motion before we can even entertain revising or amending the motion if we wish to put it on the floor. We don't have much. Yes.
Yeah, this is why I asked at the beginning if there was you were putting a motion on the floor, and you said no, you weren't. So there's no motion on the floor. There's nothing to postpone or amend at this time.
Okay, fine. So we're 2 minutes away from being out of time on this. Let's see. I'm not sure what to do right now, Arpal. Do you have a suggestion?
Well, if nobody wants to say anything else, if we don't have a motion on the floor or anything, we can bring it up again next time. That would be a very efficient way of dealing with it, I suppose, because then it would certainly have the same effect as putting a motion on the floor and postponing it without going through that rigmarole.
I kind of agree with that. The thing I would like to say, if I could, is that I don't feel well enough informed as to what the revenue impact is on this, how much money we're talking about. I mean, the logistics of it, I kind of understand.
Whoa.
But I'm not quite sure what we're talking about at a practical level. So I really would like to see some facts and figures on what this actually means, for Pacifica, before I would feel like I was comfortable making an informed decision. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but I certainly do. So,
yeah, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
This is Dwayne. I'd like to have the last 45 or 50 seconds on that.
Absolutely.
I think that,
Go right ahead.
Based on the comments and even questions of the members, I think it will serve a better purpose that if we have a little more discussion on this and your request for information. I believe I asked Lydia previously if she could get the numbers from KPFT and all the stations in terms of what is the generating revenue from each station on this. And, of course, I think if we have a further discussion, maybe some of the members will be more informed and feel more comfortable, and we can have a more informed decision that we'll take to the board. So I agree with all that's been said, particularly your last comment.
Thank you, Dwayne. I appreciate that. We're out of time for this item, so I'm going to honor Dwayne's last word there and move on to the next item. And this is something that came up at the last PMB meeting. It wasn't referred to this committee. It was just an item for discussion that was actually postponed until this the meeting on the 30th, and I was hoping that we could circle around and make some comment about it before it actually reached the floor at BMB. And this is in regards to how assets and liabilities are booked, and I understand that this is just a massive topic. It really is, but I kind of think of it as at some level a pretty basic statement of, you know, what is the responsibility, not only the responsibility, but what assets and liabilities are assigned to individual stations versus Pacifica as a whole or the Pacifica National Office. And so what I proposed, I put a motion forth that I would like to take comments on for and against, and we can get into some of the logic, I guess, of the motion as we discuss it. So this was the motion that I proposed, is that the NFC asserts that assets required or debts incurred by the various units belong to the books of the units from which they originate in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. There's a lot of bandwidth in that, and there's a lot of discussion because, you know, the word originate is a very questionable word, and I intended it to be so that we could discuss it. But if you'd like me to lead off on this, I will. But if anybody has an immediate sort of visceral response to it, I'd be happy to entertain that before I say anything more.
Yeah, this is James.
Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I think this kind of encapsulates the whole difficulty we've been having with so many issues, and I think it's probably way too simple because, for example, we were just discussing the sidebands, and the question is it a local asset, or, you know, is it an asset that is generated locally, or is it, as Dwayne pointed out, it belongs to the foundation, so it's national. The same could be said with the bequest that WBI got for $583, which was taken to the national office, not credited to WBI, because, you know, where did that originate? And I think, you know, the sale of the building we've just been discussing, the building was owned by the foundation. There's no question about that, but certainly it was probably obtained through the donations of the people at KPFA. So I think we're going to have to establish our policies, and this is one of the things we need to sort out, is what are our policies on these various things in terms of what goes to national and what doesn't. And, you know, I mean, you could even say that it goes to the fund drive income as well. So I think this is way too simple, and it's part of the process that we're going to be working out to figure out how we categorize these things in our accounting and where we put them and come to some kind of consensus, if possible, on how to do that in many different categories.
I agree with you completely, James. And just to be clear, the reason I stated it as simply as this is because I know that there are just a thousand nuances to it. And I agree that we need to establish policies for this. So I you know, I'm completely with you on that. Is there anyone else? Nancy, go ahead.
Nancy. Yeah, so, I mean, this motion mentions assets acquired or debts. How about income that's used to pay those debts? Where is that credited?
Well, income is income, but it becomes an asset when it becomes cash, listener revenue. So this is why
I'm thinking loan cash from loans.
Okay.
To pay debts, in particular, you know, the ESRT debts were paid with a loan. You know, so aren't, like, income and debts kind of supposed to balance each other out? Expenses and income supposed to be balanced each other out? And if shouldn't they, like, be with the same unit?
I think they should. But I would really like – I think this is a perfect opportunity for Anita to chime in if she's still on the call, because this is like – I consider this kind of a fundamental accounting issue, and it's one that we've just – you know, it's kind of the elephant in the room. We just haven't addressed it, and I'd very much like to hear what her perspective is on this particular issue, if she's there.
And after Anita, I'd like to speak. This is Lydia.
Okay, Lydia.
And Sharon also for the staff.
Okay.
I'm on the phone, Chris.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Lydia.
Sorry. Yeah, and I don't think it's exclusively an accounting issue. It is an issue of, as you said, it's complicated. Who maintained the loan, paid off the delinquent taxes on the property, supplied, you know, collected on the books, on Pacifica National Books, all the rental income from Nakapon when it was a restaurant, its upkeep, the insurance when they had the fire. You know, you could go on and on and on. The books go forever on the national office's maintenance of and lack of thereof of the NACAPON and the national office. So, but that's, again, I really believe it's a lack of clarity and policy from the national board. And, of course, this is an advisory committee to the national board. So I totally understand that. That what needs to be clear is to hear from Anita from a accounting standpoint, but I don't think this is an accounting issue. It's like a national issue as to who owns what, who, when you get a loan that wipes out one debt, which happened with the Empire State Building debt. You know, where does that go when the national board vote to have a loan pay that plus the delinquent taxes on the property, et cetera, et cetera. So that, you know, it can go on and on, but it's ultimately a policy decision that has to direct NETA as to where it goes, and ultimately the auditor needs to know, because we don't want this to hold back our audits. To me, that's the only big thing. There are a bunch of other little things that they want to move around. I'm not invested in those. I'm invested only in this one because of the largesse of the depreciation aspect that is included in the audit.
Understood. Thank you, Lydia. Sharon?
I think Anita said she was on the call if you wanted to have her speak.
Yeah, I'm figuring she'll circle back when she's available. Are you available yet, Anita?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead. Did you hear the question, first of all?
Yes.
Okay.
I think I understand the issue, if you will. I totally agree with it being a GAAP, if you will, which is generally accepted accounting principles. I think, frankly, you know, when we were involved and nothing was recorded, essentially, we didn't get good leadership on that either. We recorded the way that we understood it at the time. And, you know, we have had a call, George and Tamara and myself and Ann, and we've discussed the whole issue. We don't really, from my perspective, and this is what I think I said last Thursday, I really do feel to settle the issue, we really need an opinion from the auditors. We do feel that how it was recorded at the time was the correct way. But
okay. We're
not opposed to moving it, if you will.
I understand, yeah. Yeah, and just to be clear with the members of this board, you know, I've been debating how the loan in particular should be booked. Ever since it was made, it's been a kind of a confusing matter for me. It's clearly owned by Pacifica, but since there's a number of units in Pacifica, I don't really actually know without a policy statement what makes sense, what makes the most sense. But generally, as Anita stated, in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, it's booked where the liability in this case was made. Now, there's a number of things that were folded into that loan, and whether all of those belong on BAI's books is certainly a matter for discussion. But it just following standard practices, I think Anita did exactly what you would expect any accounting firm to do. They booked it where the debt was incurred. It was incurred because of the Empire State, Realty Trust or whatever the ESRT, yeah, that's I think what it stands for. And that's clearly, you know, a New York thing. And so it ended up on the New York books. And I understand that, you know, makes BAI look bad, but I want to add this just so everybody out there listening to this understands is that anybody looking at those books should understand that. You know what I mean? I mean, If in other words, it's a bookkeeping thing. It's not. I was never really in favor of like holding that up as a black flag against WBAI. It's just how it's done. And so I don't really ascribe to the thinking that says, okay, well, you know, WVA is a giant black hole because of this issue. No, any station could have incurred that debt. Any station could have incurred that lawsuit, and it would reside on and a responsible manager would look at that and say, okay, yeah, how is the station actually performing in light of that fact? And that's how BAI should be evaluated, is how they are performing despite that fact, not, you know, because that lies on their books. It's irrelevant window dressing as far as I'm concerned. And,
I'm sorry.
And so, no problem. I'm riffing, I think, to a degree and talking, what would be out of turn if I wasn't chairing. So go ahead, James.
I'm next on stack, I believe.
I just want to say
this
that.
This is Sharon. I'm next on stack.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm sorry,
before
James.
Me, go ahead then. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. It was my fault. Go ahead, Sharon.
Thank you. Yeah, actually, I was trying to comment on something James said last time he spoke, which was his comment about the income. That you could, if the argument is that, you know, everything is owned by the foundation, then even the income, the revenue from, you know, listeners' fund drives, you know, that listeners pledge during fund drives is considered a revenue, well, no, is considered owned by Pacifica. Yes, that is technically true. So that's like a very reductionist way of looking at things. And I think what, you know, we're all grappling with is, okay, so where is the line? Where does the station get to, like, where do the stations, all the stations get to, like, say, okay, these are our assets for accounting purposes, and these are our debts for accounting purposes. We all understand that it's one thing that goes together, but I think it helps. This is just how it seems, is that it helps, again, when it, you know, people can see what's happening at their own station. That's why we have the local station board. That's why we have the oversight there, so we can see what's happening. And I just want to second what Chris said also. I understand that people, I do not see, I understand that the debt must be paid off by Pacifica. And there's no question, but it's just an accounting, like, matter. And it's just like how the asset of the Nakapon building, which was mentioned, was carried as an asset on the KPFA books because it was paid for by KPFA members. Okay, that's true, and you could reduce that all to it all being owned by Pacifica, but I think we're talking about accounting, and for accounting purposes, I think I think the question is, where do you draw the line between Pacifica and the stations?
Thank you, Sharon. Go ahead, James.
Well, I don't know how far back into the past you can go on these things, but as far as the loan being to pay for the Empire State Building rent, and in the past WBI was in arrears due to its rent, its very high rent at 120 Wall Street. I think it was $30,000 a month, and we're now down to about $5,000 a month in Brooklyn. But I am told, I was not there, but I'm told that the decision to sign the lease with the Empire State Building was a national board decision, as was the decision to move to 120 Wall Street, because at the time there was a plan for WBAI to be the flagship station of the network. Now, those things didn't work out, but I know that when we were trying to resolve the Empire State Building, our general manager was trying desperately to negotiate a reduced rent at the Empire State Building, and he had them at one time before the controlling real estate firm, management firm changed. He had them accepting $12,000 a month at the tower instead of $60,000 a month. Unfortunately, the national office slept on that deal, and it was never finalized or it was never memorialized, and we ended up back with the $60,000, and then we had a lawsuit, and then we had a judgment, and bing, bang, boom. So, and, you know, I get that if a station has a rental payment to make, that maybe they need to make it, but I just have a difficulty with when we get, and when those decisions were made by the national board, I'm quite sure that some or perhaps all of the BAI directors were in favor of those decisions at the time, but I'm quite sure that other directors at other stations were also in favor of that. So it just, and perhaps the issue is really not where the accounting is, although I think that's critical, but it's, as Chris has said in the past, it's how it's weaponized and who's using it to bludgeon who. You know, if, especially if you don't really understand the history of how it developed and the actual nature of who owns what and who's responsible. I mean, the stations are really just committees. They're sub, you know, the LSBs are subcommittees of the national board. It's the national board where all of this stuff is centralized. Thanks.
This is Sharon for the stack again.
Okay, I want to speak first, Sharon.
Okay.
So I agree with you in your earlier comment about the reductionistic argument about station revenue ending up as an asset of the national office as well. I think that that is fundamentally where this all leads. If we want to nationalize revenue and debt in terms of bookkeeping, I think that absent of policies for categorizing this stuff is how all that stuff happens. James, if I can address you directly, and if we can come to some consensus on how this should be done, then stuff like this won't happen in the future. And I think that's the more important issue, rather than trying to, you know, tidy the past up. We should look out for where we're going. And what could happen in the future, if it's true that that all debts and assets are part of the national office, then there's nothing that would prevent the sale of a building or the swapping of a signal or any other number of things that could be done that would be harmful to the station and would impair what I think they would rightly consider their assets. And I think that it would be very good for this committee to come up with some concrete ideas about how to do that stuff and to draw the lines, to make them dark so that they can't be crossed. Or if they are crossed, it'll be very obvious to everyone that they're being crossed and that people can be held to account for that. But in this sort of nebulous environment where we all exist now, those lines are very, very much unclear, at least to me. I mean, maybe they're clear to y'all, but they are not clear to me. And, you know, like I say, I look at this stuff a lot and I have a great deal of difficulty making sense, not of the decisions, which I think were, you know, in accordance with generally accepted accounting practices, but with the lack of guidance for those, decisions. So,
that's fine. Briefly.
Sure. Go ahead, James.
I just want to
come
say.
On,
that.
I was.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sharon. Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I just want to say that the reason why I'm talking about lines being drawn is because I I'm not trying to get into any kind of an argument. Okay, I'm just going to state some facts. Okay, like the whole name change issue that we all know about with involving the KPFA property taxes, and you know, there's been attorney's fees that have been incurred as a result of resolving this matter, which is, I believe, close to being resolved, thankfully, but they've been, you know, fairly extensive attorney's fees, and instead of these attorney's fees being carried by the net, by the foundation, by Pacifica as a whole, they're being billed back to KPFA. So in this instance, KPFA is, you know, being charged the debt that it allegedly incurred, and yet, you know, its assets, like the Nakapon building, you know, somehow are being, you know, that's why I'm talking about lines. Okay, we need to have clarity just so that it will feel fair to everyone, you know, when we know what the rules are. That's why I say, yes, we need to use generally accepted accounting of principles, but we need to clarify how they're applied, how the rules are drawn, how the lines are drawn.
The Warrington.
Okay.
Stack.
Thank you. James? No, James was next, Wayne. Sorry, got you, though.
I'm going to just respond very briefly, and again, we really don't want to get into the weeds on this too much, I don't think, tonight, but, you know, I guess there was a question of how the tax debt was incurred and exactly what happened there in Alameda County, and I get that, and I think the point is right on that we need to have policies that distinguish these things. And again, it's not so much general accounting, generally accepted accounting procedures, as much as it is our internal policies about where we decide to categorize certain things. And as far as selling or swapping a station, at least for selling a station, the one thing that steps in the way of that is the bylaws, which requires a vote. So it's not as if the National could just do anything they wanted to. We would have to have a vote on certain major sales. But the sale of lesser assets like buildings, like, you know, as I said at another meeting, when they came into WBAI on October 7th, they were putting the microphones and locking them in a closet so they could take them with them the next day, saying that they were Pacifica property. And I get that, you know. So, again, I agree we need policies, and we can go back and forth on this ad infinitum without those policies. And I would just additionally say that we're about to submit our 2018 audits, and I think that we should have the policies as soon as possible so that we can do that as soon as possible and have them corrected to whatever our policies are going to be going forward. And that goes for 2019 as well and 20. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Yeah, I'm hoping we're moving toward consensus. And I hope that I don't hear some undercurrent with respect to stations versus foundation or stations local versus national, because in the end, the structure of our foundation is that the stations are subsidiaries of the foundation corporation. And subsidiaries, for a reason, are called subsidiaries. They're subject to. So there should really never be a question about who owns what. And if it is an accounting matter, I think we ought to be able to come to some conclusion and make some suggestions as to the fairness and consistency. And I think that's wherein lies the real discovery or solution, that if we're consistent in our policies, whether someone likes them or not, as long as they're consistent, because everybody's not going to agree on everything. But I just hope there's no undercurrent, because I know that that exists in our foundation family, us versus them. But even I'll take a step further. Some want autonomy. Some station leaders, some station LSD leaders want autonomy. And there is no foundation without stations, and there can be stations without foundation. But I fall down on a strong central form of governance, and I'll be very clear about that. But as far as fairness and accounting, that shouldn't even be anything we have to argue about. We just should seek that consensus.
Okay, thank you, Dwayne. To add one final comment here, I think without guidelines for how to deal with this stuff, that decisions that are made in this regard will be governed by other factors, political, and that they'll be capricious in nature. And necessarily, I think, in that they're going to also be unfair. And so I think a set of guidelines will help us just navigate this in a more fair way, and that's what I'm hoping for out of this committee. I'm gonna move to table my motion because postpone. Postpone. Yeah.
For a certain time, if you would, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Yeah. So postpone till the next meeting, and I'm perfectly willing to strike it. I intended it specifically to generate conversation on this subject, and I think this discussion has been really, really good. It worked really good, so I'm really happy. Thank you, everybody, for saying a lot of stuff that I think has just been on our minds but not part of this meeting, any of these meetings, and so I really appreciate it. If Anita or Lydia would like the final word on this, we have 4 minutes left for this topic.
I'll defer to Lydia. She wants to talk.
Mr. Chair, are we postponing? So we're debating postponing it now? Is that it?
Oh, no. I would just move that we postpone my motion.
I don't think there's any objections.
Okay. I doubt there's any objections.
Yeah,
So Lydia, just as I just concur, but I think there was value in the conversation. So thank you for putting it out there.
Sure. Yeah, and I realized that the way I worded that was strong enough to generate some opinion on it, and that's what it was intended for. I don't pretend to know how to resolve. Actually, I just wanted to make sure that we're all thinking about it. So that's wonderful. That's great. So with that, who was that?
Nancy.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Just one final thought. I'm wondering if maybe NEDA has experience with dealing with these multi-unit networks. I think maybe they do because they serve the communications industry. They might come up with some kind of accounting changes or proposal that might help us to sort these things out, or help us to look at the expenses. Maybe the accounting codes or something. Maybe there might be changes in accounting codes that need to happen or something like that. I don't know. Maybe they have some suggestion for how to make it clear to people reading the financials.
We could make some recommendations and some notes as far as reading of the internal financials. We do have processes for that, if you think that would be helpful to you and others.
I mean, maybe you could propose some, or maybe you could describe what other people do, how they handle this, and, maybe make some proposals for how we could also handle it. If people like that idea, I know that would be extra time for you that we would, I'm not sure that I'm not authorized to tell you to do that, but that's just a suggestion that I think might be helpful.
Yeah, if I can interrupt for a second, Anita, if you have some guidelines for your own firm about how to, I'm sure you do, about how to allocate these things that we might be able to codify, that would be, I think, helpful for the committee.
I'm fairly certain that we do have something that we could share.
Okay, and
I'll provide that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. So we had one additional item for the agenda. We're going to be at time certain in 8 minutes. I'm going to turn this over to Sharon for a moment, if you don't mind me putting you on the spot, Sharon. Because I believe that this was kind of your subject for the evening. And I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I think we need to go into an executive session, and I'd like to ask Anita, and Lydia to stay on for the executive session. I think we have to stop live streaming.
Yeah, we can do that.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, can we do that, I guess?
We didn't... Yeah. We didn't notice an executive session, so.
I see. So, Sharon,
I'm sorry. Our parliamentarian has told us in the PNB meetings that if we need to go into executive session at any time during an open session, if there's something we need to discuss, we can go into a closed session. Even if it hasn't been
because we are
in an open session now, and it's being noticed that we're going into a closed session. I think that's the rationale.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd like to speak on that.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
I think the parliamentarian did state that, but there's a caveat to that. If you knew prior, if there was prior knowledge that such a subject would need to be discussed, then that doesn't apply, because if prior knowledge
Okay, well, I just found out about 3 hours ago about the information that I wanted to discuss.
Well, I'd like to do this, Mr. Chair. If we do go to, and I'm not going to argue against or for executive session, but I do know that we're trying to get straight with CPB. So if this isn't something that we can't properly notice for 7 days, we probably ought not play with that fire since we're trying to get our house in order with the site. Nevertheless, before we go into executive session, I'd like to make a suggestion that we have a second teller or a Michael Novick to help with the he normally works with the teller. So I want to suggest that we ask him if he can assist.
I'm not sure what you're suggesting, Duane. I'm sorry.
For our election, since we are going to have a formal election, before we go into executive session, I just wanted to take care of this open business, that we have a teller assistant with respect to the election for the chair that we are having next week. Michael, I'm not suggesting that Michael Novick be a helper.
Okay, that seems fine to me.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Generally, I don't know. Don't they leave this up to Terry Goodman if he's doing it? And by the way, I haven't gotten a reply from him just yet.
I haven't seen one either.
Well, I'd like to speak to that.
I'm not going
to
reply to the NFC, but yeah.
It is the body who makes the decision about who is the teller or who is the helper, not the teller.
No. Well, then we need to have another one.
And he likes to have help, by the way. So I don't think there's a problem there. We shouldn't create a problem that doesn't exist.
Okay, I'm unfamiliar with how all this stuff works. I'm actually gonna defer to our call on this if he feels comfortable with that.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
So the two tellers that Terry has worked with consistently has been Fred Blair and Michael Novick. Take your pick.
Okay.
Yeah, it's typically, like I said, Mr. Chair, it's the body's decision, not one person. So
I understand that.
I'm making a very lame, there's nothing controversial about it.
Okay.
I understand that he loves to have second pair of eyes and ears. It even covers him. So I don't really think this is an issue.
Okay. It doesn't sound controversial to me either, Duane. Does anyone have any objection to that?
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Point of order. We're on another topic item, and this agenda item has been finished. So I would like to go on to the agenda item, which is the executive session.
Okay.
We obviously can't go into executive session, so I wanted to take care of this before we close the meet.
I don't think there's an issue. We can just, it's done. Okay. Why do we have to make a motion? We didn't make a motion about Terry. We can just allow it to happen.
Yeah. If there were no objections, I agree with you.
I don't hear any objections. So would you like to move to extend, Sharon?
Okay, yes, for 10 minutes. I'd like to move to extend for 10 minutes.
Is there an objection to extending for 10 minutes in executive session? Hearing none. Fred, can you take us off the stream?